right time, Vinny, and it seems like the music that was playing when you were born.
When I was born?
Yeah.
What on earth makes you say that?
It just seems like you're straight out of the 1900s.
I see. I thought you meant the actual event of my birth.
No.
What's going on in the hospital?
No. We did a silent film, and you had an outfit on from that time period.
We did our best to recreate that, yes.
You fitted that costume perfectly.
Where do we get that stuff?
Value Village.
Oh, there you go.
You just looked online and saw what people wore, and you got a goofy hat and some suspenders, button-up shirt, loafers, you know. Uh-huh. I think you need to go back to that outfit, Vinny. I think you need to dress like that every day when you go to the grocery store.
High water pants?
Like, yeah, you see those old guys go to the store and they're dressed up like it's still 1930?
Yes.
That's what I think you should do. What do you think?
I'll get to work on that.
We really?
No.
What a disappointment.
You got very excited.
I did, actually.
Your life's so empty, you have nothing better to look forward to than your friend wearing goofy outfits to the store?
No, I just think it'd be, I think it'd turn your life around.
Do you?
Yeah. You know, getting dressed up to go out on the town.
Dressed up like somebody from 80 years ago?
Yeah. You know, you feel like an old man already.
I do.
So maybe if you dress up like that, you'd be more apt to golf.
Oh, that's what I need.
Yeah. Do a little bit of golfing. A little bit of playing the stock market. Delivering newspapers.
Do old men deliver newspapers?
No.
You ran out of old man things after golf and stock
market? Well, I just thought of, like, if you were a little kid at that era, you'd be delivering newspapers.
Extry, extry.
But maybe you never grew out of it, you know? Mm. I'll never forget. I've told this story before, but I don't care. One day, many years ago, I was stretching all my kids at gymnastics class. All these little youngsters sitting around. And you got to make small talk as you're doing butterflies, for example. You can't just sit there in silence. So I was like, let's all talk about what we're going to be when we grow up. So I asked the first kid, what are you going to be when you grow up? And the kid says, I want to be a fireman. I was like, that's a great, noble profession. Good work, young fella. What about you? What are you going to be when you grow up? And the kid goes, I would like to be a policeman. I was like, wow, another public servant, a noble task, a noble job, a noble role you will fulfill, young fella. And what about you? What are you going to be when you grow up? And the kid goes, I want to bag groceries at Top Foods. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. There's a man who's halfway to his goal already at age 8. I guess maybe he saw somebody bagging groceries at Top Foods and just thought, man, the life I could make doing that.
I bag groceries. Not at Top Foods. At Albertsons.
Vinny, a lot of people have bagged groceries.
Yeah.
I doubt many of them
wanted to do it when they were children.
It as a long-term career path.
Well, I'm not doing it now.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Dude, there are many days where I wish that all I did was work at a bookstore. I sit there behind the counter, and I read books all day, ring a couple people up, and read some more books, and that's my life. Many days I have wished for that day. But such is life. Although I have mentioned that on the show as well, and I've had librarians email me and just go, it's the worst job ever. All people do is come in and ask you really stupid questions, and they can't find anything, even though it's right in front of their face. So, I suppose not everything is all it's cracked up to be. Anyway, it's probably Vinny's show. We are here to talk wrestling. I didn't make you watch anything else tonight except the TNA pay-per-view, Vinny. And then, as we're about to do the show, I realized we already reviewed SmackDown last week.
That's right.
Hmm.
Maybe we should talk more about grocery stores.
I had a request that you watch Finding Bigfoot every week and review it. But I believe I've deleted it off my DVR.
Pity.
It is a pity. There's 20 new episodes.
20?
Yeah. There's a lot of Bigfoot to be finding. They go all over the world this time.
Have you listened, by the way, to Ground Zero Radio yet?
No.
Apparently it's not a new show. It's new to me. But it's on. It's the late. It's like 10 to 1, I think. But it's on the one of the local political talk shows, and it starts like right when I get here. But
I don't want to listen to it because it just makes me upset.
Yeah,
that could be me doing that show. Instead, it's some dingbat that lives in Seattle.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Ground Zero Radio.
I heard some show where they were talking about planets, but I think it was an astronomy show.
It's a weird one. He goes off. It is on the right wing channel, and sometimes he'll go off on tangents about how you can't trust the government. Although it's not necessarily when he says the government, he means all of them. Every single person out there is out to literally steal your privacy, and probably is in league with the Illuminati. You know, that kind of thing.
So your nihilist party is to blame as well?
Oh, that's right. I'm president, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I got to throw this out. Granny wanted me to remind everybody she's apparently gotten very few entries for this contest.
Oh.
We are doing a karaoke contest, I believe. And the winner gets a brand spanking new unopened copy of WWE 13. This is a big, expensive prize. That's why this contest is difficult. You actually have to make a video of yourself holding up a piece of paper in which you identify yourself playing or performing a song of your choice. And the best recreation of said song wins the video game. So that is this coming Thursday. We're playing that on the show. We're playing all the songs and we're going to vote. So if you've not entered yet, Granny's Facebook. She's Gladys Gibson on Facebook. If you are trying to become a friend and she hasn't friended you yet, message her. That's probably the fastest way to get her to befriend you. And get your videos ready. The videos have to be posted on Granny's wall. Gladys Gibson's wall. So if you're not a friend, you better friend her quick. Big prize here! So, that's coming up on Thursday, just so everybody's aware. A free copy of the WWE 13 video game to the best karaoke performance on video on this program. Now, on another topic, the CNN video of the UFO in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw this a couple days ago.
Oh, okay.
Am I the only one on the face of the planet that thinks it's a fly? It looks like a fly. It behaves like a fly. It performs aerially like a fly. And these people are baffled. What could it be?
It is... No one makes any reference to, you know, there is, all you can see is there is a shape. There is a selection of pixels in the middle of the screen. It could be anything, yes. And there's also no reference to the size of the object. It could, in fact, be the size of a fly.
I think it's a fly.
Yeah.
Somebody get a video of a fly on YouTube and compare it to this video and bet you anything it's the same thing. It even looks like a fly. That's the key. Like, they claim there was a shot of thrusters.
That's what my man said, yes.
It looked like a fly's wing. It's available on YouTube, I'm sure. Just Google Denver UFO mystery. I just watched a video of this on CNN, of all places. It's baffling to me. So with all that out of the way, I guess we should talk some wrestling.
Okay.
Start with the... let's cut right to the chase. What did you think of the Jerry Lawler angle?
It didn't bother me. I can easily understand why it would bother somebody else. Let me see what I wrote here, but the most obvious comparison is the stuff they did after Eddie Guerrero died.
That was much worse.
That was a billion times worse. Because, this is the key, Eddie Guerrero actually died. And it had just happened. Whereas Jerry Lawler, by the point this was done, he had already made a full recovery. If tragedy had struck and Lawler had passed away, or if he was still in a hospital somewhere and they were making fun of him, would have been a different story. But the fact that Lawler was there clearly is healthy.
Could not have been more alive.
No. He's vibrant.
He's lost 20 pounds.
Good.
Since his heart attack. He is probably healthier now than he's been in years.
Yes.
Changed his diet, whole nine yards.
So given all of that, I thought it was... I mean this in a good way. In bad taste. It was I didn't think it was offensive, but it was, you know, this is rude. This is very, very rude to make fun of someone else's misfortune. That's what evil characters should do. It's what villains should do. So I thought it didn't bother me. Like I say, if you are bothered, great. I'm not going to argue with you, or I'm not going to tell you how you should feel about it. And if I'm in the minority, which clearly there are some people who passionately disagree with this, and that's fine. I don't think tons and tons and tons of people were going to turn off Raw because of that. Maybe I'm wrong.
This is a very interesting situation because I'm going to give everyone some a sneak peek of the new Figure Four comes out tomorrow. Some scoops. This idea originated a couple of weeks back, and everybody that was in the ring at the time signed off on it. Obviously, Jerry Lawler was fine with it. Punk fine with it. Heyman fine with it. Foley fine with it. I don't know about Jim Ross. I don't know if he was fine with it. I do know that he did a blog today, and he merely said it was not his favorite part of the show. And they did get him out of the ring when it happened. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if maybe he was just like, I ain't going to be part of this. I don't like this. I don't know what the situation was. But the guys in the ring were fine with it. The wrestlers in the back, there's a brand new generation of wrestlers coming up. It's a young locker room. And as a result, a lot of these guys look up to Paul Heyman and Jerry Lawler and Mick Foley. And in a completely different way, they look up to CM Punk because he's a guy that scratched and clawed his way to the top. And there was talk last week that Punk may actually close out WrestleMania this year. I'm not sure how they're going to swing that if he's not in the title match. But that show's going to do $11 million at the gate. It's going to be the biggest pro wrestling gate of all time by almost double. And CM Punk's going to be the headliner. So when you think about where he was 5 years ago, and then you look at that fact, that's something to look up to for these youngsters. So anyway, because of that, the feeling seemed to be, from talking to people, that because all of these guys that they all looked up to were involved in this angle, they just were okay with it. If it's good enough for Lawler and Foley and Heyman and Punk, great. The people that were the most upset about this, by far, were the people that that visit our website and other websites. Even like the television viewers. Like, we don't have the quarter hours yet, but we have the hourly ratings. And people did not turn off the show after this angle. Lots and lots of people watched this angle, and the ratings pattern was virtually identical to every single week. Dropped a little bit in the third hour. Actually, dropped less in the third hour, I think, than most weeks. So it didn't turn off TV viewers. It appears the only people that it really, really, really upset were very, very hardcore fans. And I just find that extremely interesting. I don't even know why. I just think an angle like this, it just seems strange that of all the people to really get upset about it, it's like our readership. They were the most upset of anybody, really.
Our readership is the kind of person who will say things like, it's still real to me, damn it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even like the Randy Orton thing universally offended everybody in the world, except apparently the McMahon family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everybody hated that. The wrestlers hated that. The people involved, I'm sure, hated that. The fans hated that. The viewers hated that. Everybody hated that. This is one where the wrestlers didn't seem to care. The people involved didn't seem to care. Lawler probably relished the opportunity to be involved in this, because I don't know this, but my guess is that at the end of the day, Lawler's going to get his revenge on Punk somehow. I don't know how. Maybe it'll cost him the title in the end, or he'll be responsible in some way for screwing CM Punk. But
maybe on Sunday.
I just thought it was the very interesting. The people that were upset about this and the people that really weren't upset about this. I will say, with that said, that's just the angle. The video package, that was no buys. And that's universally no buys. I don't know about the quarter hour. But I know that there were a lot of wrestlers that was a no-buys moment. No buys for me, no buys from our board. That seemed to be, to me, that was a thing that I almost think that upset everybody more than anything else was that video, and maybe the lingering disgust over that video permeated the actual angle itself. But the audio of him snoring as he died, and the video of him being taken backstage as he's dead, and the EMT attempting to bring him back to life as he's dead.
Yeah, I did not need to see the CPR. I did not need to see the defibrillator.
Throwing him into the ambulance and driving off like it's a wrestling angle. That seemed to be universally hated. And I can't believe they put it on television. That is the one where when people write letters, and Dave talked about last night that, you know, they're baffled that people don't respect the company and they do so poorly in Senate races after spending all this money, and the media treats them like they treat them. That is why. Stuff like that is why. So that part, I thought, just absolutely sucked a big one.
Yeah, I've been watching this company for a long time, and this business for a long time. And there's other offensive things in the world. I was not offended by the video package, but it was not pleasant. It was harrowing. It was difficult to get through. It didn't strike me as sitting here a day later. Yeah, tasteless would be a good word. Exploitive, an obvious word. Nothing I ever want to sit through again.
So there you go, everybody.
Thank God he's back.
Yeah. And again, it is Jerry the King Lawler.
That's the other part of this. I think that's the key.
Lawler's been wrestling
for a long time. Worker to the core.
Yeah.
And, you know, this man has dealt with worse events in a wrestling context. When Andy Kaufman died, and he went on TV and said, I'm not the person to be asking about this. You know, he's good and very experienced and very, I don't know if eager is the right word, but he knows how to weave real life into the fake show that he's producing.
Yeah. That's his job. That's what he's done his entire life.
Yes.
And an ambulance came out on this show and he said, there's my ride.
Yes. He's making jokes about his own death.
Yeah. So there were a couple of pieces of feedback. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm not going to say your opinion's wrong. I know I do say that as a heel here on the show sometimes, but in reality, everyone has a right to their own opinion. But in my opinion, there were people that said, I don't care if Jerry Lawler approved this. I still don't like it. And I don't know. To me, the angle involved Jerry Lawler, and if he's okay with it, and maybe even pushed for it, then who am I to say, Jerry, you should have done this? You know? This is his thing. This is his thing. This is his life. And again, like I said, I have a feeling that in the end, Jerry is going to get his revenge. And I know some people will say, well, Brian, you're an idiot. And you may be right, because they do change their minds all the time. But the whole key to that segment was that CM Punk, it wasn't just about getting people to boo CM Punk. People already boo CM Punk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be more to it than just, let's get everyone to boo Punk. Everyone would have booed Punk if his music would have just hit and he would have came out and they wouldn't have done anything that they did. They were so heavy-handed to involve Jerry Lawler in his thing with CM Punk that it seems obvious to me that at the time, at least, there is more to this story. I don't think Jerry's going to get back in the ring, and I don't think he should. But he could have a surrogate. He could have someone else get in the ring for him, whether it be Undertaker or Mick Foley. There's a lot of talk of Foley and Punk at TLC.
There's a certain irony of a man who has died choosing to fight for him, the dead man.
Yeah. And that was my first thought. Mm. And there's a lot of ways, because I know that there were people on the board that were like, how in the world did Brian make this connection? Easy. Because they've been talking about Punk and Undertaker now for months. And sometimes I can see what they're thinking about and where they're going. And sometimes I'm out to lunch on it. Sometimes I'm not out to lunch, but in the end I am out to lunch because they go another direction. But it makes sense, based on the way they think and some of the plans they have, that in fact could have something to do with the other. So I don't know if that's what they're going to do. And again, listen, Survivor Series is Sunday, and honest to God, I think Punk is leaving with the title. He is the Grand Marshal of the parade in Chicago. I expect him to do that with the belt. It is possible, less possible now that Cena beat him clean on Raw, but it is possible that they are going to put the title on Cena, do Cena versus Rock at the Rumble, and if they do Cena-Rock at the Rumble, that means Undertaker-Punk is not taking place at WrestleMania, because that will be the Punk-Rock title match, which means if you're going to do Undertaker and Punk this year, then you'd have to do it at the Rumble. So, between today and the Rumble, you have to get Undertaker involved in CM Punk's storyline, and here's CM Punk talking about a dead man. So it does, in fact, tie together if they end up going that direction. I don't think they will, but it would work out. So anyway, let's go through Raw, then we'll do Impact.
The pay-per-view. Yeah.
It's Impact Wrestling now. It's no longer TNA.
Is that still true?
I think so. Hmm.
Raw was a boring show, aside from the Lawler stuff. It was very, very, very long. 3-hour show, and the opener went in like 2 minutes. It was Orton and Dolph. It felt like the last 2 minutes of a great 50-minute match. Just like all near falls and big moves, and the people were going crazy for it. Probably because they were the first real stars that came out, I guess. Alberto distracted Orton. He overcame it. He pinned Dolph with a schoolboy.
Did you introduce the actual match, or did you just start with the comeback?
I may have started with the comeback.
All right, just checking.
I wasn't listening either. Kofi ran out. Out comes Teddy Long, who is the assistant GM on a different TV show, and he booked a match. Logic. So they did a tag match, and it was the same thing. Short, good for what it was. It was a distraction, and this time the heels won. So none of it really matters. These guys are all in the same Survivor Series match. I do know that every time Orton is in a tag team match, or even if it's just an angle with another babyface, every time I think, this is where Orton's going to hit the RKO. And he never does. It's been years I've been thinking this. So the lesson there is I'm an idiot. There was some crap with Vicky and AJ. A fat joke got thrown in Vicky's direction. Still makes me laugh. I shouldn't say makes me laugh. She's not fat. She's especially not fat for her age. She's especially not fat for wrestling fans.
Well, she is fat compared to AJ.
She's much fatter than AJ. I won't argue that point. Fatter than Dolph as well. So the other highlight of this segment was Vicky had new evidence. Voicemails. She played voicemails supposedly left by AJ on John Cena's cell phone. And these voicemails were much, much higher in voice quality than these shows recorded on this equipment that you have spent thousands of dollars on. Mm-hmm. You should sell all this and just buy John Cena's cell phone.
I need to get Todd on the show, but this sounds like a federal crime to be hacking into John Cena's voicemails.
It does. This angle sucks.
Let me tell you more about how much this angle sucks.
Right.
I ranted about this on the Dave Show yesterday. I talked about this a bit on the board here today, but I have more. The storyline sucks because, to recap, all they have to do is explain that Vicky Guerrero wanted AJ's job. So she made up a story about how AJ was having an affair, which led to her replacing AJ. However, AJ and John Cena didn't have an affair. And if that fact comes out, AJ might get her job back from Vicky. So, Vicky must create evidence to convince everyone that, in fact, they are having an affair. That is the crux of this storyline, and they have never a single time explained that to the viewers. Therefore, without that important piece of information, every single one of these characters, if you ever saw the movie Ed Wood, one of the characters who plays an actress is constantly asking, what's my motivation? Well, guess what? None of these characters have any logical motivation whatsoever.
No.
Why is AJ mad that she is being linked with the biggest star on the roster?
Don't know.
Why is John Cena upset that he is being linked with the hottest girl on the roster?
Don't know.
Especially when in the very next part of this angle,
yes,
they both admit they would like to be with each other.
Yes.
Why does Vicky care if not for the angle I proposed? Why is she wasting her time trying to humiliate AJ with the bombshell that she's linked to the biggest star in the company. Why, I might add, is AJ still the GM, or I'm sorry, is Vicky still the GM, if she's so busy involved in this bullshit that she could not even come out to make the tag team match in the opener on this show? She's too busy fiddling around with voicemails. Furthermore, if it is such a scandal that AJ is messing around with somebody on the roster, why was AJ, as Carlos the Dwarf pointed out on our board, I'll give him credit for this, why was she hired to be the GM in her wedding dress? She was in the middle of getting married to somebody on the roster when Vince came out and assigned her the role of GM. This storyline sucks.
It's very, very, very bad.
Now, granted, everybody's playing their role well. It's a very simple story. They're dying for the fans to beg for these two to be together. I understand all of that. But, as I've said a million times, you're not going to pull in non-wrestling fans with your soap opera bullshit. Because you're lazy writers. Because if someone wants to watch scripted entertainment, they're not going to watch Raw. They're going to watch real, legit, scripted entertainment with real, legit writers, real, legit continuity editors.
Yes.
Real, legit programming. They're not going to watch wrestling for a cheap ripoff. That's why this infuriates me. Because you could actually make this entire story make sense with one detail that at this point I feel they're refusing to do just to make me mad. That's right, me. So much as just it's a weight on my chest.
Apparently.
It's probably a bad show to make that analogy, but it's driving me crazy.
Anyway. It's very, very bad. The
I get more upset every day, actually. Now that people point out even more inconsistencies in this storyline.
They're a legion. I just love that this is apparently their best idea to lead to Dolph Ziggler wrestling John Cena.
Yeah. By the way, that match apparently is taking place. Actually, it's not taking place. They took that off the Survivor Series card, which makes it even more baffling that the storyline continues. I was hoping that last night. I was hoping that last night, in the middle of playing all of these voicemails and everything like that, and blah, 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 that somehow it would be revealed last night that, in fact, AJ was having an affair with Dolph! Yeah.
It's not too late.
No, it's too late for this storyline. The only thing that can save this now is they need to bring in Claire Lynch and Chris Daniels and Joe Park.
Daniels by himself would save it a lot.
What role he'd play.
Just have him come out and dance.
Yeah. Anyway, move on.
Big Show squashed William Regal. I'm starting to think William Regal might be aging in reverse. Think about him.
It's called getting healthy.
Getting off drugs, losing weight, and he's fortunate enough to still have a full head of hair. But yes, go back to like real man's man Regal compared to this man. He's doing fine. He's doing great. Caitlin beat Layla. No, nobody cares about that. But Eve's top.
Yeah, I went as far as to call my wife into the room and just to say, look at Eve's boobs.
I live with my cats. I don't think they would have paid attention. But, yeah, spectacular. A fetishist and a man after my own heart designed this outfit. There's the Lawler thing. We talked about that already. Went for a long time. The only thing we did not say, we touched on it briefly, but everyone performed well here, but most of all, CM Punk. He was on fire in this promo.
Yeah.
He was great. Making fun of Lawler, accusing him of pulling a heart attack stunt to steal his limelight. Moving on to passing Diesel on the title reign list. Then when Foley came out and Punk was basically sneering at him about how this doesn't involve you, no one cares about you. And then being upset when he learned Foley was the enforcer tonight. CM Punk was, in fact, a star in this segment. A very brief Punk Heyman meeting. The only reason I bring this up even is because Punk was ordering Heyman to fix everything, including Heyman mentioned the Brad Maddox situation. Mm-hmm. So they are in cahoots. A very fun 8-man tag. Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, Tyson Kidd, Justin Gabriel against the Primetime Players and the Colognes. The key to this is that, first of all, it was almost entirely the Rey and Tyson Kidd show. The other babyfaces didn't do much, but yeah, they got the heat on Rey, and he worked with all the young heels and made them look good. His segment with Primo in particular was awesome. Then they tagged in Tyson Kidd, who got to run wild with he got to do the big comeback. Sin Cara hit a big dive, and then Gabriel hit the 450, and the babyfaces all celebrated together. Mm-hmm. So the key to this is that it was, by the end, you had Rey Mysterio, who's a legit top guy, Sin Cara, who's kind of a upper part guy, and two lower card guys, and they were all celebrating together. A message to the fans that these two guys are on the same level as the Masked Men. Cheer them! A deliberate attempt to get somebody over, which is rare. I enjoyed this. Heyman met with Maddox. It was a Fandango promo.
I know it has been mentioned on the board that I have ignored the Fandango promos. Like there's some sort of conspiracy.
Mm.
In fact, I have not.
There's nothing to say.
I might have Monday, but I have noted in the past that the first week it was Fandango.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next show they dropped an O, so then it was just Fandango again.
Maybe he'll be Fandang next week.
Sure. But my point is, what exactly are you missing in your life by the fact that I did not make mention of the Fandango promo?
Perhaps
they put some
was...
letters on the screen. Mm-hmm. He looked at the camera. He's coming.
Yeah.
What more is there to say here?
Perhaps they thought the promos were genius or wildly entertaining, and they can't believe you shunned them.
Hmm.
I notice this to people sometimes. They get totally... not just wrestling fans.
Every detail must be acknowledged.
They get into something very minor and insignificant. And if you don't get into it with the same enthusiasm that they do, then you are insulting them.
Personally, yes.
Yeah. It's very strange. And like I say, not exclusive to wrestling fans. So we had a weird segment with Miz, Dolph, and Foley. Miz had quit the heel team before Dolph came along. But still, Dolph came up and they were bickering about something. I don't know why they're not getting along. But Dolph blew him off. Foley was there. A tag match got booked, but Dolph walked away. And suddenly Miz, acknowledging that he and Foley did not like each other, Miz was begging him for a chance to be on the team so he could help beat Team Dolph at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. Because he's turning babyface. He doesn't like Dolph either.
Because he's turning babyface.
Yeah. He's had a change of heart.
Why is he turning? Because he's turning. All right.
I think I'm going to like Miz better as a babyface than as a heel. As a heel, it's just like...
he's much... remember when when he first showed up on TV and he had him be a babyface then?
He was hideous.
That was awful.
Beyond hideous.
Yes. Just a little tag match they did here. He's much more comfortable and confident in himself now. And it comes off much better. It helps they were in Ohio and it was his people. But it can't hurt.
That's for sure.
It can't hurt. It can't be much worse. That was Brian's phone, everyone.
Was that mine?
It was not mine. Truth Wrestle Tensai. Antonio Cesaro was on commentary. Came out in street clothes, including a man bag. A satchel, as he identified it. He seemed a little nervous, but it was okay. Truth won quickly, and he vowed to kick Antonio's teeth down his esophagus. I think sometimes he just throws a big word out there just to prove he's not really as stupid as they make him look sometimes. Ryback killed Brad Maddox. Brad Maddox has gear. It's actually really awesome. Yeah, on the hip of his trunks, it reads beef mode, which is fantastic for a guy feuding with someone whose catchphrase is feed me more. He's the beef.
I just like that his gimmick was Beef Wellington, and he got called up and signed to WWE, and he's now on Raw, and he couldn't get new trunks made.
Even just plain trunks made.
There's a seamstress in the back!
Yeah. In fact, Brian, it's actually worse than that. It's not just that this was the only pair of trunks he had and he had to wear them, because he also had a forearm gimmick on that read, punch! I don't know. Maybe Brad Maddox is going to be a punching guy.
Sure.
That made me laugh. So Ryback killed him for a while. Hit him with a clothesline, declared, "I hit hard," which I think is a much better catchphrase than "feed me more." And he pinned him with his move, and he beat him up more, and he threw him into the ambulance, and that's that. I thought it went too long, but it was what it was. Sheamus squashed Otunga, then Big Show beat up Regal again. And it's all the best thing about this feud is that it's all about punching and kicking.
Yeah.
Big Show wants to punch someone, Sheamus wants to kick someone, and that's it. Daniel Bryan confronted Kane in what I thought was a hilarious segment. Mick Foley had booked Kane and a mystery partner against two members from Dolph's team earlier in the show. And this made Daniel Bryan outraged and jealous. He cannot believe that Kane would just agree to this. And he said if Foley had booked him in a match against someone, he would refuse to team with anyone other than Kane.
Sure.
So Kane blew him off, and Bryan was left screaming no by himself in a hallway, and then he got sad. This was funny. So the tag match was the Road Scholars versus Kane and a mystery partner. The options for fans to vote on were Miz, Santino, and Zack Ryder. Miz got 60% of the vote, Zack got 34% of the vote, and Santino got 6. 6
yep.
Out of every 100 people wanted to see Santino wrestle. Sad day in Morelaville.
As somebody noted, Miz is on the Survivor Series poster, and they still put this to a vote. So it'd been very unfortunate had Santino won.
For most people, yeah. So, the story here was that Kane and Miz were a perfect team. They complemented each other well. They were a well-oiled machine. They double-teamed great. They watched each other's back. They beat up the Road Scholars pretty convincingly. Bryan came down to observe, and he was playing Mr. Nice Guy, but the more it went on, the more you could tell he was jealous of Miz. Then, when Kane got a hot tag, he leapt to his feet and marked out, screaming, "Kane is in the ring! Kane is in the ring!" I laughed. So, there was kind of a convoluted finish, but the gist of it is that Bryan bonked into Cody. Miz threw Cody into the ring, and Kane pinned him. So, Kane and Miz won. They congratulated each other like normal men. Bryan tried to join in, and then Miz, just to fuck with Bryan, started raising Kane's arm, and the point is, it's a love triangle. They're doing a love triangle around this tag team,
mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. It's Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Miz in a love triangle. What more could you want?
Don't get me started.
And we had a main event: John Cena versus CM Punk for the 7,000th time. Good match. That the only thing you have not seen before here was that. At one point in this match, I swear that John Cena threw a low kick to the leg like a Muay Thai fighter. Did not see that coming.
Maybe you watched that Phoenix Jones video.
Maybe you did. Probably did, actually.
Google it, everybody.
Yeah.
Actually, the zero of you. If I've seen it, you've all seen it.
I know of it. I have not actually watched it yet. But, so Punk tried to flee. Ryback chased him back down to the ring. Cena hit him with the FU and won, and then it ended up with the belt was in the ring, and all three men had a stare down with the belt, and that was the end of the show.
That's Raw, everybody.
It's fucking long. That's my review of Raw every week. 3 hours is too goddamn long for this show.
You gotta Google this Phoenix Jones video. I listened to him on the radio yesterday explaining this situation. It's rather interesting. He's a guy who, he's actually, believe it or not, the brother of Strikeforce fighter Carlos Fedor.
He's done some fighting himself.
He's an amateur MMA fighter.
Yeah.
But I've actually gone to amateur MMA events. I'm not sure that's the, I'm not sure that means much of any.
Well, you're probably right.
I once went to a show in Portland, which is a hotbed for MMA. I think there were 22 fights or something on the show. And at least half of them... The individual who came to the cage was listed as a self-trained fighter who didn't even train, like, at a local jiu-jitsu school or MMA academy.
Like, read a judo book.
He trained in his backyard.
Yes.
And, by the way, just for the record, the self-trained fighters were slaughtered in every fight.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But the point is, the competition is not necessarily the highest at the amateur level. But anyway, he was fighting crime with his buddies in his outfit. He's got a costume.
He's a superhero.
Yeah. And he, this Phoenix fella comes across some miscreants, and they agree to not fight. They agree to perform, engage in mutual combat. Mm-hmm. So the cops are called. Phoenix actually called the cops. He didn't want to get arrested. And when the cops arrive, he's got a card that explains the law to the officers.
Yes.
That in fact, if two individuals agree to engage in mutual combat and they don't hurt anybody else or damage any property, it is legal in Seattle. So the cops stood by and watched him beat the shit out of this other fool. It wasn't much of a fight.
I bet not.
Yeah, the video's on YouTube. He gives him some leg kicks like John Cena, and then he punches him in the face, and that's the end of it.
I suspect most fights on the street end pretty similar to that.
This actually was far more... there was more action in this street fight than most. But the video's all over the place. It has gone viral, as they say. And you can check it out and watch old Phoenix run roughshod on this fella.
As noted, I have not seen the video, but I saw it... the first I heard about it, the Seattle PI website, which is still around, even though the newspaper's dead, but one of their bloggers linked to it, and they were outraged. They could not believe the police were standing by, letting this rampant street violence happen right in front of them. And the police contacted them, referencing the municipal code that says, no, what happened here was, in fact, 100% legal. There's rules, apparently, about this on the Seattle law books. What constitutes fair mutual combat? If one man goes down, it's over. And, it has to be one-on-one, I think, is in there. But this apparently some Seattle legislatures in the past have debated this and determined what is fair. So, yeah. Phoenix Jones knows his shit, man. He's not fucking around.
No, he, yeah, he, apparently it's an old law.
I would imagine so.
This used to be a rough area, Seattle.
Yeah. It was, no, the Wild West and the Gold Rush, all in one.
Yeah. So anyway, look it up on YouTube. All right, the TNA program pay-per-view.
I thought the TNA pay-per-view as a whole was a pretty middle-of-the-road show. Kind of thumbs in the middle, leaning down, just because when you buy a pay-per-view, you don't want to see a bunch of matches that are fine. You want to see good matches. And then it was, I thought the show was saved by what was a very good, but very, very, very violent main event. And the two men in that match beat the fuck out of each other for my amusement.
I thought it was at least a thumbs in the middle, because you also had the three-way.
I thought the first... Remember, I felt about the three-way the same way you felt about the Sheamus Big Show match, where the first half of it was just completely boring. And then the finish was great. But the show opened with Magnus and Joe. It was fine. It was a fun match. 2 3/4 stars.
Wow.
Yeah. They were kicking out of a lot of finishers here in this opener. And Magnus hit his elbow twice, which is better than CM Punk's. And Joe kicked out, and Magnus kicked out of a muscle buster. A no DQ match where they did almost no DQ stuff. A chair got used once or twice. And finally, Joe hooked on the choke, and Magnus could not escape, and that was the end.
I do like that this time he put on the choke, and in fact, he got the win quickly afterwards.
It was funny because Todd Keneally was Keneally, Tanay, and Taz on commentary. And Keneally, the old school pro wrestling announcer, says, the ref will now drop his arm 3 times, and if it drops 3 times, the match is over. And the ref dropped his arm once and called for the bell.
Yeah.
Times change.
Well, it's perfect. It's completely random. In the rules of mutual combat, it is not specified whether it's dropping once or 3 times. It's up to the discretion of the referee.
I suppose.
Do you know that? That's a fact, Vinny.
Hmm. Are you serious?
I made it up.
Okay. You might have looked it up in front of you. ODB.
In what rule book?
The law.
I got a copy of the pro wrestling rule book here.
You
on
have
this?
A computer with the internet. You could type in Seattle Mutual Combat Law.
And okay,
I don't know. Now this is why this show is awesome.
Let's see. I don't think we've got. See, now not only getting our articles about this thing. Mm. I don't have the actual law here, but the point is, I doubt in the mutual combat law there's anything involving how many times the arm has to drop before the fight's over.
Well, perhaps it could be revised. ODB and Eric Young wrestled Tara and Jesse. I love that as part of the heel's entrance, Jesse military presses Tara a few times to warm up. That is awesome. So they did a complete comedy match. Comedy was funny enough. The action was fine enough. A lot of the comedy involved ODB's breasts and or her vagina. Highlight was Taryn Terrell. It's been a while since I've really noticed her. I've kind of gotten used to her. Kind of me got a little numb to her. But there was a point, actually all her pinfalls she counted the same way, where she drops down to both knees in one hand and she raises her arm high in the air, she arches her back as far as she can, and then she slaps the mat, counts one, and she does that twice, and then of course they kick out. And completely unnatural and forced, and then she hops up to her feet and she just starts stepping back and forth. I can't even say shifting her weight from side to side. She's just step left, step right, step left, step right, step left, step right. Repeat, repeat, repeat. So eventually, Jesse got ODB's flask spat into his face, and he got kicked in the nuts. And then Eric pinned him with his elbow drop, which is actually much better than Magnus's. So ODB and Eric won. Now, I know there's a story about this in The Observer. I'm not ready yet. Is he gone now?
Hold on a second.
Oh, God. What have I done?
So, I didn't find Mutual Combat, but I'm looking at a test. I don't even know where I found this, but it is about killing folks, the law, and this here says, to get your charges reduced from first or second degree murder to manslaughter, you must pass all of the following tests to show that your crime was not premeditated. And there are some examples here. Look at these examples that they came up with. This is, you discovered your spouse committing adultery. So it's going to give an example, and you have to decide whether this is provocation or not. So here we go. Mary walks in on her husband, Jeff, having an affair with her younger sister. She and her sister share everything, so she doesn't mind. However, she is mad that her sister forgot to pick her up from the airport this morning, so she shoots her. This, Vinny, is listed as no actual provocation.
You must get Todd on the show to talk about this.
Now, here's the other example. Mary walks in on her husband, Jeff, having an affair with her younger sister. She is furious, panics, and throws a TV over her sister's head. Her sister dies. Yes, this is actual provocation. Because the actions were in response to the adultery. What is this thing? My God. About that. It's a handout. This must be for a class. It's got a bunch of questions here. What is this? It's baffling to me. Criminal Law Trivia Olympics and Valentine's Day Lesson.
Valentine's Day, you say?
Oh, my God. Wow. All right, let's move on here. I could take no more of this.
Joey Ryan wrestled Rob Van Dam.
Mm-hmm.
Still amazing to me, I'm watching Joey Ryan cut promos on Hulk Hogan. That's just bizarre. So they had a match. Mike Tenay, in this match and in the opener, was talking about other companies guys had worked for, like Ring of Honor and ECW and WWE. Just throwing these names out there very casually. You won't believe this, but Joey Ryan got the heat in this match by pushing Rob Van Dam off the top rope so he crashed into the guardrail.
Shocking! I have never seen that spot.
No, no. Should also mention that before the match, Joey cut a promo saying he wanted Matt Morgan to stay in the back so he could beat Rob on his own. What a heel! And the best part was, I thought when he said this, it would be, you know, he's a heel. So I thought Morgan would come out and interfere. No! Joey Ryan meant this. He wanted to fight Rob Van Dam man-to-man in mutual combat.
Yeah. That's legal.
So, thank God Todd was there to identify Ryan's wacky indie moves like the mustache ride. That's what he calls it. It's a neck breaker. Rob made his comeback, won with a frog splash. Joey and Ryan looked totally fine. It was a very average match. And Rob went to the top of the ramp to celebrate. And last time, I think it was also when he kicked Rob, but the last time Matt Morgan threw that carbon footprint, which is exactly the same thing as the bro kick, he was standing way too close to the guy, and it looked stupid. So he comes out here to kick Rob, and sure enough, he's standing way too close to him, and it looks stupid.
Must be a new finisher.
I suppose. We had a Joseph Park Esquire promo. He wished Sting, told him to get well soon. He admitted he was afraid to wrestle the man who administered that beating to Sting, but he was going to avenge the unspeakable and unmentionable acts that the Aces and Eights had done to him while he was kidnapped.
Fed him.
Well. So we had Joseph Park versus Doc. It was goofy. He did a live-action Bugs Bunny cartoon where Doc would charge, and Joseph Park would dodge, and Doc would bounce into something, which sounds funny enough on its own. Then you must remember, Joseph Park is significantly larger here. Few 4 inches taller and, I don't know, 100 pounds bigger? He was the much, much larger man, but he was fast. Eventually, Doc cut him off, beat him up forever. It was boring. Joe made his I don't know how to wrestle comeback, where he just throws clumsy forearms and then kind of hits the ropes, but he doesn't know how. Doc hit him with his belt, and Joe gigged. The highlight of the match, because Joe saw the blood in his hands, and he went into a trance, and he went into abyss mode, started screaming and destroying the man, and hit him, laid him out with a black hole slam. And the trance faded. He was confused again. And eventually, Doc hit him with a choke slam, which is also funny because, again, Joe is way bigger than him. Mm-hmm. Like if you chokeslam me. Just look silly. So Doc won.
Have you seen these guns?
Oh, your arms. Yeah. So Doc won. He continued the assault after the match. Bully Ray came out to make the save, and he raised Joe's hand out of respect. Not much to see here. Chavo Hernandez beat Cass Daniels in a completely average tag team match. They got the heat in the little guy, the big guy riding wild. They did a finish. Champs won. Finish was actually cool. It was a doomsday device with a crossbody by Chavo. I like that move. AJ did a promo. Notre Dame has not been world champion in almost 3 years. Well, it's going to be 4. Then we had the three-way. What did AJ Styles do to his hair?
Vinny, mm-hmm. I am certain that this was by design. The whole story of this match is AJ is slipping.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting older. He's lost his fire. He's had a bad year. He's had distractions. Can't do what he used to do anymore. And the hair made the whole thing work. He looked so tired.
He looks like a history teacher.
Disheveled.
Yes.
He looked like the road had absolutely owned him. It was great. AJ was so awesome on this show, I thought, being that guy. He did it perfectly. Even the spot where he gets thrown over the top and he just kind of slips on the apron, looks like he nearly kills himself. He pulled it off without a hitch. That was all by design. He was awesome.
So it was a three-way. The first half of it, the standard one guy waits on the floor while two guys do stuff in the ring, which is fine when it's like an X-Division match and guys are flying through the air and kicking each other. But these guys were doing like chin locks and Indian death locks as the other guy just waited. Three ways do not work when there's no action going on. So it was not much for a long time, in fact. And then they finally started hitting big moves at the end and it got great. There was a cool spot where Rude and Storm, like on accident, both grabbed AJ for a suplex and they looked at each other And they hit the suplex, and he almost could not help themselves but to complete the theatrical chant of beer money. And then the last second, they caught themselves and started fighting. I love that spot. That was great. AJ has four. Everyone hit and teased their finishers. And finally, Storm is, Rude is going to go for the fisherman suplex. But Storm hits him with a backcracker from behind. So that lays Rude out. But AJ is just standing there stunned. And so Storm hits him with a super kick and wins. That was a great finish. So Storm gets a title shot.
For the moment.
You skeptical?
No, he already lost at the tapings.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Bobby Roode beat James Storm, and now James Storm wasn't even on the second set of tapings, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
This fucking company.
It has to be a three-way. Otherwise, they've lost their minds.
So, anyway, point of all this is that it was never really made clear why Hulk doesn't want one of these men challenging for the title, but AJ agreed to these tips for whatever reason. He lost clean. He doesn't get a title match for a year now. D-Von cut a promo on Kurt Angle from Aces and Eights Land. They had a match. It was not very good.
No. I watched this match a second time trying to figure out where D-Von hurt himself, and I have no answer.
Maybe he was just selling Kurt's ankle lock.
No, because, listen, that was broached to me, but number one, I know that he did tweak his knee. And number two, you don't fake an injury to the point where you let your match fall apart with Kurt Angle. You know?
Yeah. So, Aces and Eights ran down and surrounded the ring. And when they did this, Kurt immediately slapped on the ankle lock in the middle. And D-Von tapped, which it seems like it's been years since Kurt actually tapped someone out with that move. But D-Von tapped out.
Way to put over this Aces and Eights.
Yep. Kurt immediately ran to the back. Aces and Eights were sad. And Doc was screaming at Kurt, "You're next and you're dead." So... yeah, fresh off his win over Joe Park, Doc is now going to feud with Kurt Angle. The storyline also sucks, by the way. Just want to mention that. An unidentified person tried to interview AJ. AJ blew him off in despair and walked away. And then we had the main event. It was Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy in a ladder match. They beat the fuck out of each other. Hardy, in particular, a couple of times was climbing the ladder and got it shoved out from under him or kicked out from under him and just took hard falls onto the mat.
This guy was trying to kill himself.
Yeah. He's been doing it for a long time, too. And those TLC matches with the Dudleys and Nudge and Christian were 10 years ago. Also a spot where they had the ladder upside down but unfolded, and he threw himself ribs first onto it. That looked brutal.
Onto the skinny things that hold the two sides together.
Yeah.
Like a knife.
Yeah, don't do that, everyone. Aries was taking his own share of stupid stuff. There was, for example, one point where Hardy hit a twist of fate off the top of the ladder and both guys splattered to the earth. So the most insane one, I thought, was right at the finish. They're brawling on top of a super ladder. It's kind of hard to describe this, but I'll do my best. There was a smaller ladder laying across the ropes in the corner. And these two guys were brawling on top of a super ladder that was set up in the middle of the ring. And they somehow managed to tip the ladder over from there towards the smaller ladder. They both landed on the smaller ladder. And somehow they got to their feet on it. And Jeff had a twist of fate on there. So both guys fell on the ladder, and then both men and the ladder fell off the ropes to the arena floor.
Yeah.
That was so crazy. There's no way to control anything in that spot. You have to hope you land on the ladder, you have to hope you can get to your feet, and you have to hope somehow that as you take this move onto the ladder, you will fall to the arena floor safely. Which apparently they did. So they did that. Yeah, I think that was the finish. And then Jeff just jumped back in the ring, climbed the super ladder, and won. And especially when I watched this whole match, so I was well aware of the beating they took. But then when I watched the highlights afterwards, then you just watched giant fall after giant fall. They killed each other. So it was, they killed each other to have a good match, and it worked.
visually, I guess, when they came through the curtain, Austin Aries looked the worse for wear.
Mm-hmm.
But
Jeff felt it more?
I'm not Jeff Hardy, but I'll say that I probably wrestled 500 matches in my life, and I didn't do any of this stupid stuff. Took a lot of bumps, but nothing this stupid. And once a month, at least once a month, I go to the chiropractor so he can realign my pelvis.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm feeling pretty good, all things considered, but I still need my pelvis realigned. And he's always saying, try not to take any throws, you know, any judo throws or anything.
It's a good rule for everyone, by the way.
Jiu-jitsu, yeah. So I try to avoid taking throws because it knocks my pelvis out of alignment. But the point is, this dude's pelvis. His pelvis and his hips and his back and his neck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Shoulders.
It's like, I know that some wrestlers, I guess, to try to over-dramatize things and make them feel tougher, will use the line about how every bump's like getting in a car wreck. And it's like, I wrestled for many years, and every bump ain't like getting in a car wreck. 95% of bumps are nothing. But some bumps are like getting in car wrecks, and some bumps are like getting hit by semi-trucks. And a couple of these bumps that Jeff took, like the one on the one when he got kicked off the ladder and he landed like on his neck and shoulder.
Yeah, head and shoulder first, yes.
And got all twisted. That dude's pelvis is out right now. And his back and
his fucking neck.
His neck. That was like getting hit by a truck. And that ain't good for you. So,
well,
I don't care how they felt when they came through the curtain. They're like, hey, I'm fine. Hey, great. Yeah, good match. Man, that thing. What the fuck? But listen, this ain't going to be good. And it's not worth it for 7,000 people on pay-per-view. That's the key.
That's true.
If you're going to do one big match and take one big bump at a WrestleMania that you hope is going to be in the highlight package on Raw 100 years after you die, knock yourself out. Not literally, but you know what I mean. But on a TNA Turning Point pay-per-view, this wasn't even Bound for Glory. This was, even TV, you're going to get seen by a million people. But Turning Point, no one's buying the Turning Point DVD. No one's buying it on Blu-ray because they don't do Blu-rays. The 7,000 people saw this. Maybe over the course of history, another 7,000 will see it. Don't kill yourself for this. Honest to God, I promise you it's not worth it. I promise you it's not worth it. This is different from Jerry Lawler and his angle, where I just at the beginning of the show said, Jerry Lawler wants to do it, let him do it. But this is different. It's a physical thing.
Yeah.
And I've never met a guy who couldn't walk that was like, man, I'm glad I can't walk. Never. It doesn't happen. So this is just too much. That's my opinion, at least.
So that's our show.
That's the show, everybody.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm done.
All right.
I'm done, Gus. We're going to be back tomorrow. Larry Madison's on the show talking the Hall of Fame. Him and Dave Meltzer and myself. I got four shows tomorrow. Show with Larry Madison talking the Hall of Fame. I got Carl Stern. We're going to talk all sorts of stuff, including hopefully finding Bigfoot. That's my plan. Hopefully he's watched the show. Then in the afternoon, Lance Storm is going to be on the program. And then late in the evening, I believe we got another Wrestling Observer Radio. So four shows coming up tomorrow. So if you're a freeloader listening to this, man, what you are missing out on tomorrow, and you could hear it all, it's only $10.99 a month. Just keep that in mind. WrestlingObserver.com. All right, we are out of here. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Good night.